One, two tests, okay. Coming through okay?
Good.
Well, welcome everybody, and thank you for the opportunity to make this history presentation. The subject will be the three legacies of AA. It's going to be a one-hour presentation, and in the interest of time, I'm going to end it with the year 1988. And that's when the book, The Language of the Heart, was published. And I'm going to conclude with a couple of special slides regarding the big book. AA's 20th anniversary and second international convention was held in St. Louis's Kiel Auditorium from July 1st to 3rd, 1955. This historic convention introduced a new circle and triangle symbol that was displayed on a large banner draping the back of the stage. In AA Comes of Age, AA's co-founder, Bill W., described the circle as representing the whole of AA, and the triangle represented AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. Each of AA's three legacies has a foundation of 12 spiritual principles, and they are the 12 steps for the legacy of recovery, which were first published in 1939, and then with additional essays published in 1953. And the 12 traditions for the legacy of unity, first published in 1946 in their long form, and in 1949 and 1953 in their short form. And the 12 concepts for the legacy of service, first published in 1962 in their long form, and in 1971 in their short form. We're going to walk through a timeline on how these 36 spiritual principles came to be, beginning with the 12 steps. Bill W. wrote a July 1953 Grapevine article titled A Fragment of History, and it can be found in the book The Language of the Heart. The article explains the origin of the 12 steps and recognizes three main channels of inspiration for them as Dr. William D. Silkworth, William James, and the Oxford Group. In 1934, the Charles B. Towns Hospital in New York City was the location where Bill W. received two of his inspirations for the steps from both Dr. Silkworth and William James. Dr. Silkworth, the first channel of inspiration for the steps, was the medical director of the hospital, and he is also central to the big book chapter, The Doctor's Opinion. Bill W. affectionately called him, quote, the little doctor who loved drunks and a medical saint. William James, the second channel of inspiration for the steps, is known as the father of American psychology. He was no stranger to alcoholism. His younger brother, Robertson, was in and out of asylums all his life for his alcoholism, and he spent his final years with James. As a distinguished Harvard professor, James presented the Gifford Lecture Series on Natural Religion at the University of Aberdeen. His lectures were published in 1902 in a critically acclaimed book titled The Varieties of Religious Experience, A Study in Human Nature. In 1934, a copy of the book was given to Bill W. in Towns Hospital, and it strongly influenced Bill and early AA members, and we'll get to how that happened in just a few slides. The third channel of inspiration for the steps originated in mid-1908 by Lutheran minister Frank Bookman. He founded an evangelical movement that was called the First Century Christian Fellowship. And in early 1918, the Reverend Sam Shoemaker became a devoted member of the movement, and it was renamed to the Oxford Group in 1921. Then in 1925, Shoemaker became rector of the Calvary Episcopal Church in New York City and assumed a leadership role in the Oxford Group. Its United States headquarters were set up at Calvary House, which was a building immediately next to the church. One more accomplishment of Shoemaker was the co-founding of the Calvary Rescue Mission. In a July 1949 letter to Sam Shoemaker, Bill W. wrote, quote, so far as I am concerned, and Dr. Smith too, the Oxford Group seeded AA. It was our spiritual wellspring at the beginning, end of quote. Bill later expressed regret that he did not write to Frank Bookman as well. And in AA Comes of Age, Bill wrote, quote, early AA got its ideas of self-examination, acknowledgement of character defects, restitution for harm done, and working with others straight from the Oxford groups and from nowhere else. Bill was introduced to the Oxford group in November 1934 by his boyhood friend, Ebbie T. Roughly half of the big book chapter, Bill's story, describes how this happened in Bill's home. They sat at the kitchen table, and Ebby told Bill how he recently found sobriety in Vermont with the help of the Oxford Group. Ebby was taken to the Calvary Rescue Mission in New York City and was attending Oxford Group meetings at Calvary Hall. Bill wrote in his Big Book story that Ebby, quote, in a matter-of-fact way, told how two men had appeared in court persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. They had told of a simple religious idea and a practical program of action, and that was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. He had come to pass his experience along to me if I cared to have it, end quote. Bill later also described what Ebby passed on to him in a May 1949 paper presented to the American Psychiatric Association titled The Society of Alcoholics Anonymous. Bill wrote that, quote, the 12 steps are little but an amplified and streamlined version of the principles enumerated by my friend of the kitchen table. And then Bill further noted, quote, Ebby, my friend of the kitchen table, took little interest in other alcoholics, and this may have caused his endless backslides later on. I found that working with alcoholics had a huge bearing on my own sobriety. Bill continued drinking after Ebby's visit, but Ebby's sobriety intrigued him. He made a drunken visit to the Calvary Rescue Mission in early December, and he met Ebby again. Shortly after that, he checked himself into Towns Hospital for his fourth and last admission on December 11th, 1934, and that's Bill's sobriety date. Ebby visited Bill in the hospital and, as a sponsor, led him through the Oxford Group's practical program of action, and this is described in AA Comes of Age as six steps. Bill W. also refers to the program of action as Ebby's formula, and he lists two variations of the six steps passed on to him by Ebby, first at Bill's home and then later again at Towns Hospital. Following Ebby's visit, Bill fell into a deep depression and had a life-changing spiritual experience after crying out, quote, if there be a God, will he show himself? In Bill's story, he states, quote, God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. Fearing that he had gone crazy, he called for Dr. Silkworth, who told him to hang on to what he experienced because it seemed so much better than what he had just an hour before. Bill would later jokingly call this his hot flash or white flash experience. During his hospital stay, Bill read and was inspired by William James's book, The Varieties of Religious Experience. James cited many cases of two styles of spiritual conversion, one gradual and the other sudden and intense. Neither was considered superior to the other. Many of his examples were chronic alcoholics who were once considered hopeless. Bill likely viewed James as an inspiration for the steps because his book revealed three key points for recovery. First, a need for deflation at depth, or what we today call hitting bottom. Second, an admission of defeat, or what we today call acceptance. And third, an appeal to a higher power for help, or what we today call surrender. And these spiritual principles later formed the basis for steps 1, 2, and 3. James is mentioned twice in the Big Book by name, first in the chapter There Is a Solution, and also in the Spiritual Experience Appendix. After his discharge from the hospital, Bill attended Oxford Group meetings at Calvary House with his wife, Lois. He worked with alcoholics at both the Calvary Rescue Mission and Towns Hospital, emphasizing his hot flash spiritual experience. He also began weekly meetings at his home on Clinton Street in Brooklyn. After months of having no success and sobering up other alcoholics, Bill W. came very close to giving up. However, he realized, as did his wife Lois, that he was staying sober because of his working with others. In April 1935, Bill had a talk with Dr. Silkworth, who advised him to stop preaching about his hot flash hospital experience and hit the alcoholics hard with the medical view on alcoholism. Silkworth advised Bill to break down the strong egos of alcoholics by telling them about the obsession that condemned them to drink and the allergy that condemned them to go mad or die. It would then be much easier to get them to accept the spiritual solution. Bill went to Akron, Ohio on a business trip in May 1935, and it quickly went sour. In poor spirits and tempted to enter the Mayflower Hotel bar, he realized he needed another alcoholic. He phoned clergy members listed on the hotel lobby directory and was eventually put in touch with Henrietta Seiberling, a local Oxford Group member. She had previously started an Oxford Group meeting to help Dr. Bob with his drinking problem, and she viewed Bill's arrival as the answer to her prayers for Dr. Bob and called his wife Ann to arrange a dinner the next day. Bill met Dr. Bob on Mother's Day, May 12, 1935, at the gatehouse of the Seiberling estate. Dr. Bob was so badly hungover that he planned to stay for only 15 minutes. Privately, Bill told him of his alcoholism experience in the manner suggested by Dr. Silkworth. Dr. Bob then opened up, and he and Bill talked until after 11 p.m. Dr. Bob's 15 minutes turned into 5 hours. In the spirit of what would later become Step 12 in Tradition 5, carrying a message to a still-suffering alcoholic is the primary and single purpose that gave birth to AA and its first group. Ebby T. carried a message to Bill W. in late 1934, and Bill carried a message to Dr. Bob in mid-1935. This led to the founding of AA on the day that Dr. Bob had his last drink. It is celebrated as June 10, 1935, but based on information that's been known for some time, the date was very likely June 17th. In late June, Dr. Bob and Bill carried a message to Bill D. at Akron City Hospital, and he is called AA number 3. Akron's group number 1, which is recognized as AA's first group, marks its beginning as July 4th, 1935, the date that Bill D. left the hospital. Bill W. returned to New York City in late August, and he sought out alcoholics to work with in Towns Hospital and the Calvary Rescue Mission. In December, Hank P., whose big book story is The Unbeliever, and Fitz M., whose big book story is Our Southern Friend, sobered up at Towns Hospital with Bill's help, and they, in turn, provided much help to Bill. In the following years, Hank started AA in New Jersey, and he managed the publication of the big book. Fitz M. started AA in Washington, D.C., and he helped start AA in Baltimore, Maryland. In AA Comes of Age, the earliest recorded experience that influenced the traditions occurred in 1936 when Bill W. was around 2 years sober. Charles B. Towns offered Bill a very lucrative job at his hospital as a lay alcoholism therapist. After years of a hand-to-mouth existence, Bill wanted the job very much. The question was put to the New York group meeting at his home, and they rejected it. Bill cooperated with their decision and later wrote in AA Comes of Age, quote, "Three blows well and truly struck had fallen on the anvil of experience. The common welfare must come first. AA cannot have a class of professional therapists, and God speaking in the group conscience is to be our final authority." Bill also wrote, quote, "Clearly implied in these three embryo principles of tradition was a fourth. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern." Now, those embryo principles later formed the basis for traditions 1, 2, and 3. In their early years, both the Akron and New York groups were directly affiliated with the Oxford group. It was helpful at first, but later created problems, particularly in New York because of Bill and Lois working only with alcoholics. In August 1937, Bill and Lois stopped attending Oxford group meetings, and the New York AA separated from the Oxford group. And this was the beginning of AA separating itself from outside affiliation, and it set the groundwork for what would later become Tradition 6. The Akron group remained affiliated with the Oxford group for 2 more years. Dr. Bob and Bill W. met again in Akron in October 1937. There were 2 groups then and about 40 sober members, and more than half of them were sober for over a year. It was actually a remarkable success story since all the sober members were once considered hopeless and beyond any help at all. Bill had ideas for a chain of AA hospitals, paid missionaries, and a book of experience to carry the message to distant places. Dr. Bob liked the book idea, but not the hospitals and paid missionaries. In a meeting of the Akron group, Bill's ideas narrowly passed by a single vote. The New York group was more enthusiastic. This historic milestone marked the decision to write the big book. The book project's first challenge was financing, and that was no simple matter. The country was still firmly in the grips of the Great Economic Depression, and the prospects of World War II were looming large in both Europe and Asia. Early efforts to raise funds failed. and Bill W.'s brother-in-law, Dr. Leonard V. Strong, arranged a meeting in December 1937 with Willard S. Richardson, who was an ordained minister and the manager of John D. Rockefeller's philanthropies. Richardson, in turn, arranged a dinner meeting in January 1938 with four fellow Rockefeller associates. At the January meeting, Rockefeller associates Frank Amos offered to visit Akron and make a report on the Young Fellowship of Alcoholics. It was intended for use in approaching Rockefeller with an appeal to help finance the book project. Amos's report was detailed and very favorable. Its main emphasis was on Dr. Bob's desperate financial situation and what should be done to help him. Richardson sent Amos's report to John D. Rockefeller Jr. with a letter urging a donation of $5,000 a year for one or possibly 2 years, and that would be the equivalent of $85,000 a year in today's dollars. In his reply, Rockefeller declined to make a donation for the second year, but he did provide $5,000 to be held in a fund in the Riverside Church Treasury. The fund was used first to assist Dr. Bob with a $750 distribution, and that would be the equivalent of $13,000 today. And the remainder was used to provide Bill and Dr. Bob each with $200 a month, or the equivalent of $3,400 a month today, so that they could continue to dedicate themselves full-time to the fellowship. In the spring of 1938, the writing of the big book began at Honors Dealers, 17 William Street, Newark, New Jersey. It was the business office of New York member Hank P. Bill W. wrote outlines on legal pads, and he dictated the expanded text to Ruth Hawk, who was then the Honors Dealers secretary. Each week, Bill would read the drafts to those who met at his home, and then edited copies were sent to Dr. Bob for further review and editing by the Akron members. As they worked their way through the chapters, the New York and Akron members also wrote the personal stories to be included in the book. In June 1934, Bill W. wrote to Dr. Bob that one chapter in his personal story had been written. That chapter was There Is a Solution, and that everybody in New York favored the title Alcoholics Anonymous for the book. And this was almost a year prior to its publication. Bill suggested that Dr. Bob's wife, Ann, write the chapter portraying the wife of an alcoholic, but she declined. Now, this was not about the big book chapter 8 to wives. It was about a personal story, later titled An Alcoholic's Wife, written by Marie B. of Akron, Ohio. Her husband Walter's story is the backslider. As it later turned out, though, the chapter to wives was written by Bill W., much to the dismay of his wife Lois. On July 18, 1938, Dr. Esther L. Richards of the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore wrote a very positive letter to Bill W. regarding a two-chapter book prospectus sent to her for review. The name given in the prospectus for the book was Alcoholics Anonymous. Dr. Richards suggesting getting, quote, an A number one physician in the alcoholism field to write an introduction. Shortly after, Dr. William D. Silkworth wrote a letter of support for use in fundraising for the book project. It was later incorporated into the big book chapter, The Doctor's Opinion, together with extracts from a paper he wrote that was published in the Lancet Medical Journal. On August 5, 1938, the Alcoholic Foundation was formed as a charitable trust to provide for the safekeeping of funds. The trust indenture document specified that non-alcoholic trustees were to make up a majority of the board. And the terms Class A and Class B trustees were used to make a distinction between non-alcoholic and alcoholic board members. The foundation had a tiny one-room borrowed office with one borrowed non-alcoholic secretary by the name of Ruth Hopp. The foundation and office would eventually come to be known as the General Service Board and General Service Office. Ruth Hawk would later become AA's first national secretary. In September 1938, Frank Amos arranged a meeting between Bill W. and Eugene Xman, who was the religious editor of Harper Brothers Publishers. Xman offered Bill a $1,500 advance, which would be the equivalent of $25,000 today, on the rights to the book. The Alcoholic Foundation Board urged acceptance, but Bill wanted ownership of the book to stay within the fellowship. Based on a suggestion from X-Men, Hank P. persuaded Bill to form Works Publishing Company and sell stock at $25 par value, and that would be the equivalent of $400 a share today. 600 shares were issued, and Hank and Bill received 200 shares each, and 200 shares were sold to others. To placate the board, it was decided that the author's royalty, which would ordinarily be Bill's, could go to the Alcoholic Foundation. The newly formed Works Publishing Company would later come to be known as AA Publishing and later still as AA World Services, or AAWS. Prior to publication of the Big Book, there were only two well-established groups, Akron and New York. The recovery program, at times called Ebby's Formula, consisted of six steps passed on to new members by word of mouth. Lacking any written material, the soundness of what was passed on depended on who was doing the passing on. Variations of the six steps are in the books AA Comes of Age, Pass It On, and as mentioned earlier, a June 1953 Grapevine article by Bill W. titled A Fragment of History. The second edition Big Book story, He Sold Himself Short, also has a version of the six steps recalled by Earl T., founder of AA in Chicago. Dr. Bob was Earl's sponsor, and this version reflects a more orthodox Oxford group influence that prevailed in the Midwest. Bill W.'s July 1953 Grapevine article notes, quote, "Though these principles were advocated according to the whim or liking of each of us, and though in Akron and Cleveland they still stuck by the Oxford group absolutes of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love, this was the gist of our message to incoming alcoholics up to 1939 when our present 12 steps were put to paper." Well, those 12 steps were actually first drafted in December of 1938 at Bill's home. An approximate reconstruction of them is in the book Pass It On. Bill claimed it took him about 30 minutes to do it. Words that were later changed are highlighted in red and underlined. Much often heated debate on the wording of the newly written 12 steps began at once and continued right up to the printing of the Big Book. On January 5, 1939, Hank P. wrote to Bill W. that Tom Uzel, an editor at Collier's and a member of the New York University faculty, enthusiastically agreed to edit the raw manuscript sent to him for review. Bill W. later wrote that Uzel, quote, "sharpened up the English but did not change much of anything, except to take Bill's story out of the story section where it had been the first personal story and insisted on using it to open the book." Jim B. is reputed to be the member who suggested the phrases God as we understood him and power greater than ourselves, that they be added to the steps and basic text. Bill W. later wrote, quote, "those expressions, as we so well know today, prove lifesavers for many an alcoholic." Jim B., whose Big Book story is The Vicious Cycle, started AA in Philadelphia, and he helped start AA in Baltimore, Maryland, together with Fitz M. The edited book texts and half the personal stories were compiled into a pre-publication manuscript in January 1939. 400 copies were sent out for review and comments, and they were returned by March and produced few major changes. An important revision did occur, however, when a Montclair, New Jersey psychiatrist, Dr. Howard, advised altering the overall tone of the book to one of making suggestions based on experience as opposed to making direct instructions. The markup manuscript page shown is the beginning of Chapter 5, How It Works. Many pages had handwritten editing notations from top to bottom. ...4,730 copies of the first edition of Alcoholics Anonymous were printed in April 1939 at $3.50 a copy, and that would be equivalent to $60 a copy today. It was a very expensive book for its time. The printer, Edward Blackwell of the Cornwall Press, was told to use the thickest paper in his shop, and the large bulky volume became known as the Big Book, and it has been called that ever since. In AA Comes of Age, Bill W. wrote that the idea behind the thick, large paper was to, quote, "convince the alcoholic that he was getting his money's worth." The book had 8 Roman and 400 Arabic numbered pages. The doctor's opinion started as page 1, and the basic text ended at page 179, not 164. All purchases were by mail. Those not satisfied with the book could get their purchase price and postage refunded. On May 10, 1939, the Cleveland members, led by Pioneer member Clarence S., whose big book story is Home Brewmeister, announced that they would meet separately from Akron and the Oxford Group. Their first meeting was at the home of Abby G., whose big book story is He Thought He Could Drink Like a Gentleman. After almost 4 years, this was AA's third group. An important part of the traditions has to do with public relations, which in the late 1930s and early 1940s had the most dramatic impact on AA growth. The September 30th, 1939 issue of Liberty Magazine carried an article titled Alcoholics and God by Morris Markey. It generated about 800 inquiries to the New York office, all of which were answered by Ruth Hock. On October 21, 1939, the Cleveland Plain Dealer began a series of editorials by Elric B. Davis, and readers could call the newspaper to be referred to AA. The results were spectacular, and the Cleveland group was flooded with appeals for help. Membership quickly surged from 20 to several hundred. Newcomers with just a few days of sobriety were assigned to make 12-step calls. On February 8, 1940, John D. Rockefeller Jr. held a dinner for AA at the Union Club in New York City. Nelson Rockefeller hosted in the absence of his ill father. Now, it, too, produced much favorable national publicity and raised $4,090, or the equivalent of about $71,000 today, from the attendees, and almost half of that came from Rockefeller. Rockefeller and several dinner guests continued to contribute around $3,000 a year, or the equivalent of $52,000 a year today, up to 1945, when they were asked to stop. In March 1940, the Alcoholic Foundation office moved from Newark, New Jersey, to 30 Vesey Street in New York City, and Ruth Hock became AA's first national secretary. Most of the draft yellow pages and manuscript drafts of the Big Book were discarded before the move, and a very difficult loss to AA's archives were the handwritten draft of the initial version of the 12 steps. In April 1940, Hank P., who had objected violently to the move, got drunk after 4 years of sobriety. The following May, Works Publishing Company was legally incorporated as a publishing arm of the Alcoholic Foundation. Bill W. and Hank P. gave up their stock with a stipulation that Dr. Bob and his wife Ann would receive 10% royalties on the Big Book for life. Hank P. is credited in a number of sources, including the book Pass It On, with writing the Big Book Chapter 10 to employers. Ruth Hock later wrote, if it wasn't for Bill W., the Big Book would never have been written, and if it wasn't for Hank P., it never would have been published. A newsletter called the AA Bulletin was first mailed to groups by the New York office on November 14, 1940. It was intended to inform groups of important events. These bulletins were the forerunner of today's Box 459. Bulletin number one had a list of cities categorized as to whether they were well-established, just beginning, or had isolated members. Almost 5.5 years after its founding, AA had been brought to a total of 31 cities in the United States by November 1940. On January 14, Ruth Hock sent out AA Bulletin number two, and it had a flash lead item that the Saturday Evening Post would be carrying an article on AA by Jack Alexander, and that there would likely be numerous inquiries in response to it. Members and groups were asked to, quote, stand by for active duty. Alexander's Saturday Evening Post article was printed on March 1, 1941, to a readership of over 3 million. Its impact on AA growth was enormous. It was AA's most notable public relations blessing. Membership surged from 2,000 to over 8,000 during 1941. Reprints of the article were a favorite pamphlet and is still reprinted to this day. From this and other public relations blessings emerged the principle in the long form of Tradition 11 that states, quote, there is never a need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. Alexander later served as a Class A board trustee from 1951 to 1956. Over 6,000 inquiries were sent to the New York office during 1941 because of the Post article. The New York office asked the groups for donations of $1, or the equivalent $16 today, per member per year for support for extra staff to respond to all the appeals for help. And this began the practice of financing what is today called the General Service Office, or GSO, from group and member donations. In March 1941, the wording of Step 12 was changed in the second printing of the Big Book. The term spiritual experience was changed to spiritual awakening, and the term as the result of these steps was changed to as the result of those steps. What we today call the spiritual experience appendix was added as an untitled Appendix 2. All this was done because many members assumed that they had to have an intense spiritual experience similar to what Bill had in Towns Hospital in 1934. The appendix emphasized that most spiritual experiences developed slowly over time and were of the educational variety. Ruth Hawk sent out AA Bulletin Number 3 on June 30, 1941, announcing that over 4,400 letters had been answered in the 3 months since the Post article was published. Correspondence was being maintained with 116 cities, and that's almost three times the number announced in January. At the end of the bulletin, Ruth reported on the discovery of a news clipping with a prayer that we today call the Serenity Prayer. The office printed it on small cards, which they included in outgoing mail. For years within AA, it was called the AA Prayer instead of the Serenity Prayer. The prayer is attributed to Reinhold Niebuhr, whose version differs somewhat from the popular version. On December 8, 1941, after an attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, the United States entered World War II. With the possibility of being recalled to active duty in the Army, Bill W. requested that he be granted a royalty on book sales to provide financial support for his wife, Lois. The board approved a 10% royalty. Prior to this, Dr. Bob was voluntarily giving Bill half the 10% royalty that he and Ann were receiving. Margaret Foran joined the Alcoholic Foundation Board in late 1941 as the first woman Class A trustee. On December 31, 1941, the New York office distributed a four-page census of 146 known cities where AA had been established. 69 of the cities had well-established groups. In its early years, the New York office was called either the headquarters or central office or general office. It provided a central mail link to members trying to start groups and helping them with growing pains. Over time, the collected letters sent in by the groups gave firm signals of a need for guidelines to help with group problems that occurred repeatedly. Basic ideas for the traditions would come from these letters and the principles defined in the foreword to the first edition Big Book. In 1942, A. Leroy Chipman asked John D. Rockefeller Jr. and the 1940 dinner guests for a loan of $8,500, and that would be the equivalent of $125,000 today, to buy back the remaining outstanding shares of Works Publishing stock. Rockefeller lent $4,000, his son Nelson $500, and the other dinner guests $4,000. By acquiring all the outstanding shares, it ensured that complete ownership of the Big Book would be held in trust for the entire AA Fellowship. In October 1942, Clarence S. stirred up a controversy after discovering that Dr. Bob and Bill W. were receiving royalties from Big Book sales. Bill sought counsel from his spiritual sponsor, Father Edward Dowling, and he suggested that Bill and Dr. Bob could certainly not accept money for 12-step work, but that they should accept royalties as compensation for special services. And this later formed the basis for Tradition 8 and Concept 11. Due to the amount of time both co-founders dedicated to AA, it was impossible for either of them to earn a living through their normal professions. Communications to and from groups was greatly aided by the publication of two newsletters, the Cleveland Central Bulletin and the AA Grapevine. The Central Bulletin began publication in October 1942 and the Grapevine in June 1944. The Grapevine became AA's official magazine and played a critical role in the development of the traditions and the General Service Conference. Both publications provide a significant amount of early group and fellowship history. By the mid-1940s, the letters that had been sent to the New York office by groups and members led to reliable conclusions on what practices worked well and those that didn't. Groups were also asked to send in all their membership rules, and it provided quite a shock. If all the membership rules were applied everywhere, it would be impossible for any alcoholic to join AA. In April 1945, Earl T. suggested to Bill W. that the experiences sent in from group and member correspondents might be codified into a set of principles to offer tested solutions to avoid future problems. Now, Earl had a significant role in the development of the traditions, both the long and the short forms. In 1945, the Alcoholic Foundation Board wrote to John D. Rockefeller, Jr. and the 1940 dinner guests that AA no longer needed their financial help. Big Book royalties could look after Dr. Bob and Bill, and group contributions could pay the office expenses. And if these were insufficient, a reserve accumulated from literature sales could meet the deficit. In total, Rockefeller and the dinner guests donated about $31,000, and that would be over $400,000 in today's dollars. Charles B. Towns also donated several thousand dollars. And these donations were viewed as loans and paid back out of Big Book income. And this finally led to the principle of being fully self-supporting, declining all further outside contributions, and later formed the basis of Tradition 7. The ending of World War II and demobilization marked a period of rapid growth in AA as members of the armed forces returned to the United States and civilian life. Bill W. wrote in AA Comes of Age that the period from 1945 to 1950 was one of immense strain and test. The three main issues were money, anonymity, and what was to become of AA when its old-timers and founders were gone. And Bill began his most intensive and exhaustive work of forming the traditions and creating a service structure to carry on after he and Dr. Bob were gone. The August 1945 Grapevine carried Bill's first traditions essay titled Modesty, One Plank for Good Public Relations. And it began his five-year campaign for the traditions and the General Service Conference. In April 1946, the Grapevine was incorporated as the second publishing arm of the Alcoholic Foundation. The April issue carried Bill W.'s essay titled 12 Suggested Points for AA Tradition. They later came to be known as the long form of the traditions. Bill W. wrote Grapevine essays on the traditions up to late 1949, and they are all preserved in the book The Language of the Heart and were used in writing The 12 and 12 and AA Comes of Age. Bill started to feel out the Alcoholic Foundation Board and members on the idea of representatives from various geographical areas coming together as an elected service conference. The board and Dr. Bob were not very enthusiastic about the idea. After a difficult year of talks on policy and structure, Bill W. wrote an April 8, 1947 paper titled Our AA General Service Center, The Alcoholic Foundation of Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. It outlined a history of the foundation and recommended a general service conference and renaming the Alcoholic Foundation to the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. The trustees' reaction was at first defensive and then outright negative. They saw no need for change. Most members today would not associate the seeds of the traditions and concepts with the years 1946 and 1947, respectively. AA was on the verge of its teenage years, and a visionary Bill W. was laying the groundwork for its coming of age. What is today called the AA Preamble first appeared in the June 1947 Grapevine. Written by Tom Y., Grapevine's first editor, it was based on the foreword to the first edition Big Book. Today it is a common reading at the beginning of AA meetings, and that's how, over time, it came to be called the AA Preamble. The December 1947 Grapevine reported that a new 48-page pamphlet titled AA Tradition was sent to each group and that each member could have one free of charge. It was AA's first piece of literature dedicated totally to the traditions. In June 1948, Dr. Bob was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He closed his office and retired from practice. Bill W. was spurred into greater urgency as Dr. Bob's illness progressed. He pressed harder for a general service conference to take the place of the AA founders. And it resulted in hot debates and a serious rift developed between him and the trustees over what they call Bill's, quote, sledgehammer tactics. Earl T. of Chicago suggested to Bill W. that the 12 suggested points for AA tradition would benefit from revision and shortening. Bill Witherell's help developed the short form of the traditions, which were first printed in the centerfold of the November 1949 Grapevine. When the 12 and 12 was published in 1953, two wording changes were made to the 1949 version. The term primary spiritual aim in Tradition 6 was changed to primary purpose, and the term principles above personalities in Tradition 12 was changed to principles before personalities. The November 1949 Grapevine also carried an article by Bill W. asking subscribers if the Thanksgiving holiday week should be dedicated to discussion of the traditions. The replies received were overwhelmingly in favor of the idea. Later, the entire month of November became Traditions Month. The first international convention opened on Friday, July 28, 1950, in the Cleveland Public Auditorium. Approximately 3,000 people attended. Bill W. chronicled the historic proceedings in a September 1950 Grapevine article titled We Come of Age, and it can be found in the book The Language of the Heart. Contrary to popular belief, the current short form of the traditions was not approved at the 1950 International Convention. What was approved was worded quite differently than both the long and short form traditions we know today. Bill was asked to sum up the traditions for the attendees, and he did so by paraphrasing a variation of the traditions shown in the slide, and which can also be found in the book, The Language of the Heart. Notably missing from what Bill recited were the principles embodied in Tradition 10 regarding outside issues and public controversy. However, the traditions, as recited by Bill, were approved unanimously. Dr. Bob was very determined to be at the first international convention, despite the progression of his terminal cancer. On July 30th, a gravely ill Dr. Bob made a brief appearance at the Sunday big meeting for what would be his farewell talk. In the fall of 1950, Bill W. visited Dr. Bob in Akron for their last visit together. Bill informed Dr. Bob that the board would soon approve a multi-year trial period for the General Service Conference. Dr. Bob gave Bill his endorsement as well, and his final words to Bill were, "Let's keep it simple." Dr. Bob, age 70, passed away on November 16, 1950. In his 15 years of sobriety, he helped more than 5,000 alcoholics, and he never took any fee for his professional services. In his eulogy, Bill W. described Dr. Bob as, quote, "the prince of the 12-steppers." Dr. Bob served as a Class B trustee on the Alcoholic Foundation Board from its inception in 1938 up to 1944, and again from 1949 to the time of his death. Class A board trustees Leonard Harrison and Bernard B. Smith resolved a five-year conflict between Bill W. and the board on having a general service conference. Smith, who Bill would later call the architect of the service structure, chaired a trustees committee that recommended that conferences be held on an experimental basis from 1951 to 54, and in 1955 it would be evaluated and a final decision made. On August 20, 1951, 37 United States and Canadian delegates, which were half the planned number, convened at the Commodore Hotel in New York City for 3 days as the first panel of the General Service Conference. Several advisory actions were unanimously approved, among them that AA literature should be conference approved. The 1951 conference also recommended that the subject of AA auxiliaries or family groups be taken back to local groups for further discussion and be considered at the 1952 conference. At the close of the conference, Lois W., with her close friend and neighbor, Ann B., invited the delegates' wives and local family group members to meet at her home at Stepping Stones. The purpose of the meeting was to discuss ideas for an organization that was then being called, quote, AA family groups. The first family group office, called the Clearinghouse Committee, started at the 24th Street Clubhouse in New York City on January 9, 1952. In March, non-alcoholic groups using various names such as AA Helpmates, AA Auxiliary, AAA, Non-AA, and AA Associates adopted the name Al-Anon Family Groups for their new fellowship. Al-Anon wrote to AA asking to use its 12 steps. AA agreed unofficially and later through the conference recommended that Al-Anon be a separate fellowship and not a subsidiary of AA. In September 1952, Al-Anon adopted and adapted AA's 12 traditions using the version that was first published in November 1949, Grapevine. That's why there's slight wording differences. On April 23, 1952, Panel 2, consisting of 38 additional delegates, joined with Panel 1 for the first conference of all delegates attending. Based on the 1951 advisory action on conference-approved literature, the board formed a trustees committee to recommend literature items that should be retained and future literature items that would be needed. Bill W. also reported on his literature projects, one of which involved updating the story section of the Big Book to provide a more truly representative cross-section of AA recoveries. The board's proposals and Bill's projects were unanimously approved. There are not specific advisory actions, but by approving existing literature items to be retained, the conference retroactively approved the Big Book and the long form of the traditions. Board Chairman Bernard B. Smith reported to the 1953 conference that the corporate name of Works Publishing had been changed to Alcoholics Anonymous Publishing. The first conference-approved book distributed under the new publishing name was The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, and it contains the final wording of the short form of the traditions as we know them today, and is where and when the short form was conference-approved. The 1954 conference unanimously approved renaming the Alcoholic Foundation to the General Service Board of AA. The 1955 conference convened in St. Louis, Missouri on June 26 to 29th, and again on July 3rd. It unanimously recommended adoption of a permanent conference charter subject to the approval of the Second International Convention that would convene in St. Louis on July 1st. The final conference session was scheduled to be held on the afternoon of July 3rd in conjunction with the International Convention. AA's 20th anniversary and Second International Convention was held at St. Louis's Kiel Auditorium from July 1st to 3rd, 1955. Estimated attendance was 3,800, and its theme was coming of age. As mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, this was where the circle and triangle logo was introduced to symbolize AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. The 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon meeting was designated as the last session of the General Service Conference. All the conference delegates assembled on the stage. It is the only time in the history of the conference that it has been open to the participation of AA members. At the invitation of Chairman Bernard B. Smith, Bill W. presented a resolution to the attendees, the heart of which read, "Be it therefore resolved that the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous should become, as of this date, July 3rd, 1955, the guardian of AA's traditions, the perpetuator of the world services of our society, the voice of the group conscience of our entire fellowship, and the sole successors to its co-founders, Dr. Bob and Bill." And the resolution was unanimously approved. The conference charter has 12 articles, the 12th of which is called the General Warranties of the Conference, or just Warranties for short. The six warranties in Article 12 are a condensed version of the traditions to ensure that the conference always functions in the spirit of the traditions. In 1962, the warranties formed Concept 12 of the 12 Concepts for World Service. Approval of the Permanent Conference Charter also resulted in approval of a new publication titled The Third Legacy Manual, and it was the forerunner of today's service manual, both of which contain the Permanent Conference Charter. The second edition Big Book was introduced at the 1955 International Convention at a retail price of $4.50, and that would be equivalent to $40 a copy today. It contained 30 new personal stories. Bill W. renumbered the pages of the second edition so that page one began with Bill's story instead of the doctor's opinion. It's not known why he did this, but there has been some very creative and entertaining speculation on the matter. The second edition also had a new appendix containing the short and long form of the traditions. However, it mistakenly listed the short form version published in the November 1949 Grapevine instead of the version published in the 12 and 12 in 1953. The error was not fully corrected until the sixth printing in 1963. The 1956 conference voted to continue the structure of the General Service Board as 8 Class A and 7 Class B trustees, and it marked the beginning of a 10-year campaign by Bill W. to change the board ratio to a 2/3 majority of alcoholics. Bill gave a talk at the 1956 conference on the right of petition, appeal, participation, and decision, describing them as 4 principles that might someday permeate all of AA services. They later became key principles of the 12 concepts for World Service, specifically concepts 3, 4, 5, and 6. They would also be called, quote, traditional rights in the concepts, and lead some to later call the 12 concepts AA's Bill of Rights. In 1957, the wording of Step 12 changed again in the second printing of the second edition Big Book. The term, as the result of those steps, was restored to its original form as the result of these steps. Now, there's only one person on the entire planet who could pull off something like that, and to protect his anonymity, I'll just say his last name began with W. The 1957 conference approved publication of the book AA Comes of Age. Guised as a 3-day diary of the 1955 convention, it is in fact a definitive history of AA up to 1955 and contains a rich history of the steps and traditions in detail and the 3 legacies in general. The 1958 conference also approved removing the word honest from the term honest desire to stop drinking in the AA preamble. AA legend sometimes erroneously states that the word honest was removed from Tradition 3. Neither the long or short form of Tradition 3 ever contained the word honest. The term honest desire to stop drinking is from the foreword to the first edition Big Book. The conference further approved changing the name of the General Service Headquarters to General Service Office, or GSO as we know them today. In April 1960, the General Service Board adopted a policy that, quote, the board believes that AA members generally think it unwise to break the anonymity of a member even after his death, but that in each situation, the final decision must rest with the family. Many AA members believe that it's okay to reveal a member's name after they pass away, but that is not what's recommended. In the 1968, 1971, 1988, and 2010 conferences reaffirmed the board's policy. In 1960, the board also adopted a 1959 conference recommendation to change the corporate name of Alcoholics Anonymous Publishing to Alcoholics Anonymous World Services. The 1962 conference unanimously approved Bill W.'s manuscript titled 12 Concepts for World Service, and they recommended that it also be combined with the Third Legacy Manual. With its publication, all the spiritual principles of AA's 3 legacies of recovery, unity, and service were defined and explained in detail. Grapevine director Mary B. from Chappaqua, New York, joined the General Service Board in 1962 as the first woman Class B trustee. The 1966 conference approved a restructuring plan that changed the General Service Board ratio to 14 alcoholics and 7 non-alcoholic trustees. And this ended Bill's 10-year campaign to have alcoholics make up a 2/3 majority of the board. The U.S. copyright to the first edition Big Book expired in April 1967, and it was not renewed. It was not discovered until 1985, when it was also discovered that the copyright for the second edition had lapsed in 1983. It should be noted, however, that the copyright has expired only in the United States. It is still in force outside the United States under international treaty agreement. Over 10,000 attendees from 50 states and 27 countries met in the Miami, Florida Convention Hall in July 1970 for AA's 5th International Convention and 35th Anniversary. The convention theme was unity. Bill W. appeared on Sunday morning for what would be his last public appearance. His health had severely weakened due to emphysema. He was confined to a wheelchair and required the administration of oxygen. On January 24, 1971, William Griffith Wilson, age 75, co-founder of AA and 36 years sober, died at the Miami Heart Institute in Miami Beach, Florida. The date was also Bill and Lois's 53rd wedding anniversary. Bill was the architect and author of AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service, and all the written works that explain them. And this was an amazing achievement because he had no training at all as a writer. In 1990, Life magazine named Bill W. as one of the 100 most important Americans of the 20th century. Similarly, in 1999, Time magazine named Bill as one of the 100 international heroes and icons of the 20th century. 3 months after Bill W.'s death, the 1971 conference approved the short form of the 12 concepts for world service. The 1976 conference approved publication of the third edition Big Book. It also expanded the provisions of Article 3 of the Permanent Conference Charter so that any change to the steps, traditions, or warranties would require approval of 75% of the registered AA groups known to General Service offices around the world. This conference advisory action makes any proposed change to the steps, traditions, and warranties a virtual impossibility, even adding or removing a comma. It gives sole authority to the groups alone to approve such changes. Some members erroneously believe that this restriction also applies to making changes to the basic text of the Big Book. It does not. The 1988 conference approved the AA Grapevine publication of the book The Language of the Heart. It contains the essays that Bill W. wrote for the Grapevine during the 1940s to explain the traditions to the membership, and it also contains much AA history written by Bill W. At the beginning, I mentioned that the presentation would end at 1988 with the publication of this book. So I'm going to wrap up here with a brief tribute to our Big Book and AA's co-founders. There's an old saying that hindsight is 20/20, and history is hindsight, particularly in searching for cause and effect. The common root action that caused the written evolution of the three legacies of AA likely took place in October 1937, and it was a group conscience decision by the Akron and New York groups to permit the writing of a book of experience that later came to be fondly known in AA as the Big Book. The book's contents explains the 12 steps in AA's legacy of recovery. The foreword to the first edition defines many of the key principles that were later absorbed into the 12 traditions in AA's legacy of unity. And finally, the service structure that was needed to plan, produce, and distribute the book and manage public relations and funds related to book sales provided much of the initial experience and organization that later helped shape the 12 concepts and AA's legacy of service. Today, the Big Book base text and two appendices contain all 36 spiritual principles of AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. Earlier was noted that the long form of Tradition 11 states that there's never need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. Now, over time, our friends have spoken quite well of us, especially AA's Big Book. In 2011, Time magazine placed the Big Book on its list of the 100 best, most, and most influential books written since the magazine began in 1923. In 2012, the Library of Congress designated the Big Book as one of the 88 books that shaped America. Today, the Big Book is printed in 70 different languages. So to conclude, AA's story began with a 5 month sober and still shaky stockbroker from New York who had his last drink, a beer, in December 1934. And while on a failed business trip to Akron, Ohio, he met an alcoholic surgeon who desperately wanted to stop drinking. And he had his last drink, which was also a beer, in June 1935. It's probably safe to say that when AA's co-founders met, they had no idea at all of the fellowship of alcoholics that would evolve from their humble meeting and how that fellowship would save the lives of millions of alcoholics over 8-plus decades. Their legacies are today described as recovery, unity, and service. They were our gifts to freely receive, and it is our duty to freely give them away. It's been a remarkable journey down the road of happy destiny. And that concludes the presentation. I hope you found it both informative and entertaining. And again, thank you for the opportunity to present it. Yeah.